the testimony of the Scripture to the ministry of John the Baptist bears witness to the fact that John the Baptist had a most effective and fruitful ministry. Even though his ministry was very short, as far as time was concerned, it was a very effective and fruitful ministry. John the Baptist had that privilege of going before the Lord Jesus and preparing the way for the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ upon earth. You'll find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse 76, that Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, speaking over John as a little child, he said, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." You'll find again in Luke chapter 1, and this time the verse 16, that the angel Gabriel, who was sent by God to announce the coming birth of John the Baptist to Zacharias, his father, that angel said to Zacharias concerning John that many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And so even before John the Baptist was born, there were these tokens that his ministry would be an effective ministry and a fruitful ministry. If you take the time to read down Luke chapter 3, you will get some idea of the effective ministry that John the Baptist had. Because there you will read in Luke 3 in the verse 3, as John the Baptist preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, that when he came into the country about Jordan, that so many people came out to hear his ministry. Multitudes came in Luke 3 in the verse 7 to be baptized, coming professing that they were fleeing from the wrath to come and were looking by faith to the one who would come as the Son of God. You'll find in Luke chapter 3 that many of the people who came to listen to the ministry of John the Baptist, as they listened to his ministry, they asked the question, "What shall we do then?" Even the publicans, the tax collectors, who were looked upon as sinners lower than other sinners, they also came to the ministry of John the Baptist and asked, "What shall we do?" The soldiers, who again were known for their hardness and sin, they came under the ministry of John the Baptist, asking the same question, "What shall we do?" John's ministry was effective, because it caused the people who heard him to consider their sinful ways. Indeed, many of them were brought to repentance from their sinful ways under the ministry of John the Baptist. It's interesting too in John chapter 10 and the verses 41 and 42 that people who actually heard the Lord Jesus, some of them said concerning John the Baptist after hearing the Lord Jesus, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." And again it shows the effectiveness of the ministry of John the Baptist. When the people heard the Lord Jesus, they remembered John and what he had said. And they were able to say, "Well, what John said about this man, the Lord Jesus, the God-man, what John the Baptist said about him was certainly true." And so John's ministry was effective and fruitful, because it brought sinners to consider their sinful ways. It brought them to repentance. It brought them to consider Christ. And it brought many of them, therefore, to believe on Christ, to receive him personally as their Savior. But when we come to Mark chapter 6, where we have read from tonight, there is something that stands out in this chapter and again shows to us the effectiveness of the ministry of John the Baptist. Because we read in this chapter that the ministry of John the Baptist even had an effect upon Herod. You'll see in the verse 20 of Mark chapter 6, the words of our text. We're told there in Mark chapter 6 and verse 20, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly." While this does show us that the ministry of John the Baptist was so effective that it did even have an effect upon King Herod, the tragedy, of course, is that while the ministry of John the Baptist, his preaching of the truth and the gospel, while it did have a certain effect upon Herod, sadly and tragically, we do not read of Herod coming to repent of his sin and coming in faith to receive Christ as a Savior. But there's a warning in what we read in Mark 6 and verse 20. Because you could be in this meeting tonight unsaved. And maybe you have heard the gospel many times. Maybe in this house. And to some degree, the ministry of the gospel that you have heard has had an effect upon your life. But it has never yet brought you to repent of your sin. And by faith, to embrace Christ as your Savior. And therefore tonight I want us to consider what we read here in Mark 6 and the verse 20. I want us to consider tonight Herod's reaction to the ministry of John the Baptist. And as we consider this text, in the first place I want us to consider the feelings of Herod. As you ponder the words of Mark chapter 6 and the verse 20, we are given there an insight into the feelings which Herod had with relation to John the Baptist and the message that he preached. And we can say in relation to the feelings which Herod had towards John the Baptist and the message that he preached, that Herod was impressed by the person of John the Baptist. In Mark 6 verse 20 we read, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man, and an holy, and observed him." When you think of Herod from a human perspective, he had a place of authority in this life. He had power that he could wield in this life. No doubt he had riches because of the position that he was in. And from a human perspective, who was John the Baptist in the eyes of a man like Herod? John in many ways was only a poor, ordinary individual. From a human perspective, when you contrast him with Herod and all his worldly pomp and glory. And yet from our text we discover that King Herod had a certain respect for this man, John the Baptist. He had a certain reverence for John the Baptist, for we read that he feared John. He knew as he looked upon John the Baptist and considered him that here was a man, as our text says, that was a just man and an holy. Herod was impressed by what the grace of God had wrought in the life of John the Baptist. Because after all, John the Baptist was only a sinner saved by the grace of God. But because God had justified John the Baptist, because God had set John apart and made him different, made him to be a holy man, Herod was impressed. You see, God's grace and salvation gives to the sinner a new nature, new desires, changes the sinner from the inside and affects also the outside of their life. Salvation doesn't just clean up our lives. Salvation gives us new life. And God's grace could be seen in the life of John the Baptist. John had obviously borne a good testimony before King Herod. It's noteworthy here in Mark chapter 6 and the verse 14 that when King Herod heard of the Lord Jesus coming upon the scene during his earthly ministry, that he actually thought this was John the Baptist risen from the dead. And one interesting thought that can be drawn from that is this: Herod could see something in the Lord Jesus that resembled John the Baptist. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus was so much on a higher plane than John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus, after all, was God and man. The Lord Jesus was sinless. But when Herod heard of the Lord Jesus, he thought of John the Baptist. He thought it was the John the Baptist for a time. And it shows us that, of course, as the Bible teaches us, when God saves us as sinners, it's his purpose to make us like the Lord Jesus. That could be seen by Herod in the life of John the Baptist. And so Herod was impressed by the person of John the Baptist, so impressed that we're told there in the verse 20 of Mark chapter 6 that he observed him. The word's not what we might think it would mean in the English. It's actually a word that means he preserved the life of John the Baptist on a number of occasions. You see, we're reminded here in Mark 6 in the verse 19 that Herodias had a quarrel against John the Baptist, and she would have killed him if she had got her way. Of course, she eventually got her way, but long before John was beheaded, that woman Herodias wanted to have him killed. She had been the wife of Herod's brother Philip, and yet Herod had put away his own wife and taken this woman from her rightful husband and entered into this adulterous relationship. And because John the Baptist rebuked Herod and her for this sinful relationship, she wanted to have John the Baptist killed long before she got the opportunity to ask that he might be beheaded. And yet when we read of that in verse 19, she would have killed him, but she could not. Why? For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed, or as we've said, the word means preserved him. There's no doubt then that Herod was impressed by the person of John the Baptist. It reminds us tonight, if we're here and we're saved, that we ought always to bear that good testimony before others. But my friend, you could be here tonight, maybe you're not saved. Maybe in some ways you're a bit like Herod from this perspective. There may be other people in your family who are saved. You may have neighbours who are saved. You may have friends in the congregation who are saved. And yes, maybe you are impressed by their lives. And I've no doubt that that is the case. That you, even though you may be here unsaved, you could pick out certain of God's people that you know, and yes, you're impressed by their lives. But you know that in itself will never gain you favour with God. That in itself will not somehow save your soul and get you into heaven. The feelings of Herod for John the Baptist went further. Not only was he impressed by the person of John, but I want you to think for a moment of the fact that Herod was also impressed by the preaching of John the Baptist. And this is so amazing to consider the fact that the preaching of John the Baptist actually condemned Herod. And yet Herod was, in a sense, impressed by the preaching of John the Baptist. Look again at Mark chapter 6 and the verse 20. It tells us there that Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. Listen to the last part of verse 20. And when he heard him, that is, when Herod heard John the Baptist preaching, he did many things and heard him gladly. You see, John's life so impressed Herod that that gave John the Baptist a hearing for his message from Herod. Because Herod was impressed by the life of John the Baptist and his person, well, then he listened at times to the message which John preached. It's noteworthy to consider that from this chapter and what we read in it, that Herod obviously heard John preaching when John was in prison. We're not told whether Herod went to the prison to hear him or had him called up from the prison. But when you read down the passage carefully, you'll see that John was in prison when Herod heard him preach. Because in verse 17, the record is told how Herod himself had sent forth, laid hold upon John and bound him in prison. And then later on, we read our text in verse 20. He heard him, and he heard him gladly. He heard him in prison. He listened to the preaching of John the Baptist. To some extent, Herod even began to enjoy the preaching of John the Baptist, because it tells us in our text that he heard him gladly. And as I've said, this is all the more remarkable when we consider that the preaching of John the Baptist sounded out the truth and condemned Herod in his sinful state. He was so impressed by the preaching of John the Baptist that we're told in our text that when he heard him, he did many things. Maybe there were certain sins in his life that he did give up. Maybe there were certain wrongs in his administration as King Herod that he also put right. Maybe he reformed certain things about his life after hearing John preach. And we must therefore conclude that the Spirit of God caused the searching preaching of John the Baptist, the pointed preaching of John the Baptist, to convict Herod of his sinfulness. In some sense then, we can say that King Herod's feelings are to be commended. But of course, those feelings in themselves could never save his soul. Let me say again to you tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, oh, you may be impressed by the testimony of some of God's people. You may be impressed by the minister who normally preaches here. You may enjoy listening to him preaching. It may be that even sitting under his preaching, the Spirit of God many times has convicted you of your sin. But my friend, those things in themselves will not save your soul. Horatius Bonner penned a number of hymns that are found in our hymn book. One of those hymns he penned the words, "Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God." And though God's Spirit may have convicted you of your sin, may be convicting you of your sin tonight, God's Word warns us that His Spirit will not always strive with man. The feelings of Herod teach us so many things. But I want us for a moment in the second place to consider the failure of Herod. Because while Herod, yes, was impressed by John the Baptist as a person, while he was impressed by his preaching, and while he did many things after hearing John preaching, while he even heard him gladly, Herod failed. When I was preparing this message, I read a message which Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones preached many years ago on this text. The little book in which some of his sermons are put together were given titles to each of the sermons. He didn't put titles on his sermons, but the title that was put upon the sermon that he preached from this text was this: Missing the Mark. And what the title was saying is that this text shows us that Herod missed the mark. What do we mean? Well, how did Herod feel? Even though he was impressed by the preacher, John the Baptist, and impressed by his preaching. Well, Herod, we could say, when we think of this, was not far from the kingdom of God, in a sense. But his failure was this: he failed to repent. Oh yes, he did many things as he heard John preaching. He maybe did put away some sins in his life, but he failed to repent of his sin. He certainly failed to put away that sinful relationship that he had with Herodias. He certainly held on to that sin among many others. The Lord Jesus on one occasion said in Luke 13, "Except ye repent, shall all likewise perish." That was a message that applied to Herod, as much as it applies to any of us. Unless we repent, we shall perish. Here was one of Herod's failings. Though he listened to John and heard him gladly and did many things, he failed to repent of his sin. And my friend, there's no salvation without repentance. The Lord Jesus tells us in his Sermon on the Mount that on the judgment day, many will come and say to him, "Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we not cast out devils and done many wonderful works?" The Lord will say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Because they had never repented of their sin. And in not repenting of his sin, we have got to say that Herod also failed, therefore, to receive salvation by faith. He received John in many ways, favorably. He received his preaching, sometimes with gladness. But he failed to become a doer of the word. He failed to receive the Christ which John the Baptist preached. He was a bit like those to whom the Lord Jesus spoke in John 5:40. And he said to them, "Ye will not come to me, that ye might have life." Oh, you listen to me in a sense, but ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. John the Baptist was the one who preached, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." But Herod's feeling was this. He failed to repent, and therefore he failed to come and receive Christ and his salvation. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, that's your feeling as well. You have not yet repented of your sin. You have not yet come and bowed the knee and received Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that brings us to a final, very solemn thought. The text in Mark 6:20 highlights the feelings of Herod. In a sense, it also, in what it does not say, highlights the feelings of Herod. But I want you just for a moment in closing to consider the future of Herod. The future of Herod from this point onward. You see, as we read down Mark chapter 6, John the Baptist was already dead, beheaded. It was when King Herod heard of the Lord Jesus in verse 14 that these things came back to him that are recorded here. He thought it was John the Baptist risen from the dead. And he began to look back, as it were, and to think about what had happened. He had been impressed by John. He had listened to John's preaching. He had preserved John's life on a number of occasions, having him put into prison instead of having him put to death, which Herodias wanted. But there came this day that is recorded here in these verses, verse 21 onward. It was Herod's birthday. He made a supper. He was having a party, if you want to put it that way. And the daughter of Herodias came in verse 22. She danced before Herod and the others, and she pleased him and those that sat with him. And Herod, in a very rash move, he asked the question, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, I will give it thee. I'll even give you half the kingdom if you ask." And of course she went off to her wicked mother. Her mother immediately told her, "I'll tell you what to ask for. Ask for the head of John the Baptist." And of course that's what happened. But the fact that Herod recalled all this when he heard of the Lord Jesus, does it not tell us that from that time when John the Baptist was beheaded and put to death, and indeed it tells us that in verse 26 the king was exceeding sorry,
that he had given this offer to Herodias' daughter, but because of the oath he had made and because of those who sat with him, he wouldn't reject her. But I would suggest that Herod's conscience bothered him from that day. He knew it was wrong that John the Baptist, the just man, the holy man, was beheaded because he had spoken out against the sin of Herod and Herodias. His conscience had bothered him ever after. The fact that when the Lord Jesus came on the scene, he thought that this must be John the Baptist risen from the dead. He obviously couldn't get John the Baptist out of his mind. That was his future in life after that moment. But what about his future in eternity? He's in eternity now. And we have to say on the basis of the Word of God, because he never repented of his sin, because of he never received Christ by faith as a Savior, tonight he's in a lost eternity. Tonight he's in that terrible place called hell, where his soul is suffering. And that is his future for all eternity. John preached off it in Luke chapter 3. And I'm sure that the same truth was heard by Herod as John preached to him. In Luke chapter 3 and the verse 17, John, speaking of the Lord Jesus, said, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." Of course, it's a picture of the harvest. But John, as he preached there, was looking forward to that day that is yet future, the final harvest, when the Lord Jesus will return as the judge, and he'll gather the wheat into his garner, those who in this life have repented of their sin, and by faith embrace Christ as their Savior, they'll be gathered into the garner of heaven. But in that same verse, John the Baptist said that the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. A reference to the eternal punishment of hell. That place where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. It's a solemn thought for a soul to be in hell. And then at the judgment day for body and soul to be reunited and cast into that terrible place called the lake of fire. My friend, I must warn you tonight, if you're not saved, at this moment, that's your future. It doesn't have to be your future. If you will come tonight and forsake your sin, if you will come tonight and not bow the knee to the preacher, bow the knee to the Lord, and acknowledge that you are a sinner, because we've all been born as sinners, acknowledge your need of Christ, and by faith, receive him as your own and personal Savior. May you not live to regret the same failure that Herod now regrets, not repenting and not receiving Christ as your Savior. We want to turn in closing to that.